Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club. This is the podcast all about collected editions from the galaxy's greatest comic 2000 AD. I'm Eamon Clark. I'm in the Crown and Anchor in Neal Street on Free Comic Book Day, and I'm with Rachel Bullmore. Rachel, welcome back.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's great. Now, I just looked up. This will be episode 67, I reckon, and you and Sheridan were on 17.
I think so.
So 50 episodes later, here you are back, and we're back in the pub again. So we did your 2000 AD origin story last time. Mm-hmm. So what we normally do is 2000 AD acquisitions and news. But I wanted to ask you, because obviously we did Halo Jones.
That's right, yeah.
And of course, since then, and probably by the time this podcast is out, certainly the first volume of the colorized version of Halo Jones will be out. It's coming out in 3 books. Mm-hmm. Colored, I've forgotten the name of the color artist at the moment, but slightly controversial on the forums as to whether it's a good thing or not. I mean, do you have a feeling about it?
I have a feeling about it, yes. My feeling is it doesn't need that extra color.
Right.
I mean, bearing in mind, my introduction to Halo Jones wasn't through the comics as and when they were published. I think I was reading them when they were already in 3
collections,
and I read it in black and white, and that was sufficient for me.
Yeah.
And it always jars me a little when I see coloured versions of it, because that's not how I remember it.
Yeah.
But I really feel that I don't like the colour scheme in the current version of it. So I can take it or leave it. I'm not going to get vitriolic about it. I have seen some quite heated discussions on the forums, but for me, I like it in black and white.
Yeah,
it has enough vibrance of its own.
It does. We British comic fans, traditionally, we can cope with black and white. We quite like it, don't we? Yeah. Whereas I gather, from Rebellion, they say for Americans, they want to have a coloured version because hopefully it will sell better. But, okay. Have you, I know it's Free Comic Book Day, but actually, for your Free Comic Book Day, you've not actually been to any of the shops yet. You come straight here to record.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go on and check out where you're headed after this.
So, Forbidden Planet and probably Orbital.
Right.
But for those who are already aware, so there's going to be some acquisitions already going on, because Sheridan, my partner, is going to be going via Mega City Comics.
Yeah, out in Camden.
Yep, and then going via Gosh and Orbital and Forbidden Planet.
Right.
So I think between us, we're going to probably get a fairly big stash.
Good.
Of what's available. And I don't particularly feel the need to double up because we live together, so.
Right. So I've been to Gosh and Orbital and Forbidden Planet, and I managed to secure 2000 AD Regened. Here it is. And I've got a couple of copies for people on the forums as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on to today's book. What did you choose for your second appearance on the book club?
So I have chosen to review Judge Dredd versus Otto Sump.
Splendid. Okay. And we're both looking at a Titan paperback, which came out, when was this? Digest size, 1988. It is a funny digest little paperback. I should say it covers, 4 Otto Sump stories?
Five. Yes.
Yeah. Which ranged from 1979 to 1985.
Before I was born, basically.
Right. So lots of progs that's in there.
Yeah.
I'll just do Creator Corner, and then we'll go on and talk about why. So in here, obviously, we've got written by John Wagner, Alan Grant. We've got Ron Smith artwork throughout. Uh-huh. We've got the great Tom Frame letters. And it says, I think, possibly that John Burns did the colours for the cover of this digest version.
Yeah. I have seen on the internet there are some coloured versions of the artwork as well, but I don't know if those are also John Burns who did the colouring, but definitely I've only seen the cover.
Okay, so why did you pick Otto Sump?
So I think it's partly because I just fell in love with the book when I found it. I touched on it earlier that I quite like the black and white comics.
Yeah.
There's something quite raw, quite immediate, and there's an element of use your own imagination and fill in the gaps when you're reading black and white. And so Sheridan happens to have all 5 of the Titan books that were done as the digest books.
Yeah.
And then we just sat collecting dust on the table. The title just jumped out to me because it's like, why is it versus Judge Dredd? What's he got against Dredd? I thought, oh, that drew me in. And then when I had a look at the cover, that drew my attention because it kind of reminded me of, I forgot the name of the character, but it's the one who, who's the man who plays Dame Edna?
Oh, right, Barry Humphries.
There's another character that he does.
Sir Les Patterson.
That's the one who's a little bit obnoxious, and the cover just reminded me a little bit of Les Patterson. So I thought, right, I'm going to read this. And then that was it. I was hooked.
Sir Les Patterson, the famous cultural attaché from Australia.
That's right.
Yeah, with most of his dinner and his drinks on his tie.
Well, yeah. There you go. That front cover is exactly what made me think of it, whether you've got some eating from a can of gunge.
Yes, so the famous cover of Otto Sump, yes, the can of gunge. And it's tasty. I mean, I'm guessing our listeners pretty much know who Otto Sump is, but for anybody who hasn't gone back to the early progs, who was Otto Sump?
So the best way of describing Otto Sump is, so Sump lives in Mega City One, and he was a notoriously ugly man. In fact, a quote from the book, he was so ugly that his parents abandoned him on the steps of a face-changing clinic.
Yes, poor chap. And the face changing didn't work for him.
He actually had several surgeries and he was still ugly.
Still as ugly as hell, yes, that's right. So we got the first story is Sob Story, isn't it?
Yes.
which in itself is a marvellous story about television in Mega City One, about...
I mean, I could quite happily just talk at length about Sob Story in some ways, because for me it was also my gateway into getting a real feel for Mega City One.
Right.
So it really set the scene in terms of how it's dystopian and chaotic, but there's elements that I really like as well. So the first thing that's, you know, the opening scene where before you even meet Otto Sump, it's just telling the story about how there's overcrowding, homelessness is rife, and one of the solutions to the homelessness is we've got lots of people who are actually living in mobile homes. Basically, they're like floating caravans. I think they call them mopads.
Yes, that's right. And whizzing around the skedways, yeah.
And much like with any sports, much like with any sort of cars and vehicles, and even with like actual trailers and caravans now, you go from like the really slummobiles all the way up to these luxury pads where they've got swimming pools and they've got all sorts of luxurious extras in there. And so, yeah, we start off just getting that cityscape view of chaos in the skies where there's traffic that is just chock-a-block on so many levels. It's not just the road. And it's not one lane of traffic in the sky, it's kind of gridlocked. And mentioning gridlock, I've got to mention this. I can't help but wonder if this kind of paved the way to a certain Doctor Who episode.
Yes, okay. So there is a new Doctor Who episode.
Ninth Doctor, so it's not that new to me.
Okay. So it's...
Tenth Doctor, I tell you.
It was Tenth Doctor, it was David Tennant.
Mm.
And he discovers basically all these people who live in their sort of mobile homes or cars, don't they?
Yes,
who are gridlocked. And that, as I said to you before, I think Father Dougal, Ardal O'Hanlon, is in... He's in a sort of cat makeup with a Biggles hat, I remember.
Yeah, and it's got, I forgot what her name is now, somebody Critchlow.
Leonora Critchlow.
Yes, the lady who was in Being Human.
Yes.
So, yes.
And it has the Macra make a famous reappearance. Those huge crab monsters from the second Doctor's reign. But yeah, okay, so yes.
So that's from one geeky reference to another.
You feel that whoever wrote Gridlock probably has seen Judge Dredd and possibly the Otto Sump story at some point. Yeah.
So anyway, that's just setting the scene of just the chaos and the pandemonium going off in Mega City. And before we even meet the infamous Otto Sump, the first thing that happens is there's a collision with one of the mopads, which is just bumping hopelessly around into other bits of traffic, and Judge Dredd's on the scene. So he jumps to action, goes to investigate, and he realises that the moped is on autopilot, or automatic rather. There's a really corny line that he says as he's trying to drive it to a stop as well, and he's like, stop, baby, stop. It's just so out of character for Dredd for me. But,
yes.
But it does make me laugh.
Okay, so obviously Dredd discovers a murder and he links it to this TV show, which is in fact called Sob Story, and it's a great bit of reality TV where people come on and tell their terrible plight and basically beg for money.
It's just milk it for all it's worth. Especially, right, so you've got Johnny Tearjerker, who's the host, who is clearly a reference to Bruce Forsyth.
He's very Bruce Forsyth, isn't he? The host of this TiVo show, yes. He's very Brucey. You know, very 70s Brucey with the, you know, when Bruce's hair looked like that as well, and a big chin that's not quite dread style, but it's a fairly big chin. So, yeah, he's a very Brucey host on this sob story TV show.
With the sob sisters that are singing, instead of Hey Big Spender, it's Hey Big Loser. And the whole idea is you tell your sob story and people will show pity on you and they will flood you with money. Any number of credits will do. But you can also send in harassment if you want to. They actually openly invite abuse as well. And so it comes to light that the reason that the first moped that Dredd's investigating why it's been on autopilot for all this time is the person who owned it had gone from rags to riches success because of the sob story show.
Yep.
And people had, somebody had, or a gang of people had actually worked out, ooh, we can make money at this because if they're mobile homes, we can put them on autopilot and nobody will ever know. It's almost seamless.
Yes, that's right. So they've been preying on the winners of sob story, which of course leads Dredd to pick Otto Sump and set him up. So you get Otto Sump's appearance on Sob Story. Tremendous.
Yeah, it's great fun reading. Well, it's not fun for Otto Sump, but he's actually been quite genuine. A lot of these other ones, I think there's quite artificial. And it's just milky for us. Whereas Otto Sump, he was actually saying that, well, he's kind of quite accepting of his ugliness, but he could do with some help. But this, some of the lines are quite, it's tragically, it's almost like a tragedy and a comedy combined, where it's this thing such as, so we've said earlier, he's so ugly his parents abandoned him. He had one job. His job was to be a rat scarer in the sewers.
Yep.
And apparently he lost that job because there were some animal rights campaigners that are saying that he was just being too cruel to the rats.
It's too much for them. I was talking to Tony Richards here before you arrived, Rachel, and he quoted, there's a great line from the first story when the robbers turn up and confront Otto Sump on his mobile home. And one of them is posing as a doctor and says, I'm going to make you just like Rudolph Valentino.
Oh, yes, he was meant to be a really tall, dark and handsome Italian actor.
That's it. Yeah, and that's what Otto Sump says. You mean tall, dark and handsome. And the doctor says, no, I mean dead.
Love it. Yeah, there's a really good amount of witty banter going on in this story. I think this is one of the things that I like about it so much is there's some very instant... There's a very good patter to it, basically, in terms of lots of puns, one-liners, and yeah.
So in Mega City 1, we know that unemployment is huge. And we know there's a lot of automation and jobs done by robots and so on. And it's always a theme of, Mega City 1 of people trying to find things to do. And as a result, the things they do become... it's a bizarre aspect of this this future city, isn't it? What do you do with all your free time when everything's automated? And in the world of Judge Dredd, they do very bizarre things to divert themselves, as you say. So, here we've got a TV show, a reality TV show, which creates sort of celebrities.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, actually, before we actually had the... our catch-up today. It's got so many parallels. I mean, this kind of predates the TV series of Big Brother, but the whole building somebody from... I think there's something that society loves to build people up from rags to riches, but what they love even more is to tear them to shreds once they've gotten to the top.
Yep.
And this is exactly what seems to happen time and time again. You've got people that are celebrities for the sheer purpose of being a celebrity. You're Z-listers, for want of a better way of describing it. And, society just loves to take them down a peg or two.
Okay, so it's a very good point, and it makes Otto Sump a celebrity in Mega City 1, which takes us on to the next stories about him. He cashes in on his reputation in a way with his So the next story is Otto Sump's Ugly Clinic, or I think sometimes called Get Ugly, isn't it?
Yes.
Which begins with a talking billboard of Otto Sump speaking to the average guy in the street and offering his new Get Ugly cosmetic products, which become a huge thing. And again, you know...
Yeah. What I quite like about this as well is it kind of does remind me a little bit of the 80s aesthetic, where we've just been coming out of the punk era.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, okay, there's got your New Romantics, where there's a lot of gender bending with clothing, there's a lot of experimentation, but there were some pretty ugly fashion statements going on in the early 80s as well.
Yes.
I mean, I was young enough to get away with not wearing a lot of these, well, not by choice, but I do remember some of the really, really questionable haircuts and colour combinations, like the fluorescent colours that were just kind of like garish. But yeah, so what I quite liked about this was this Ugly Clinic didn't intend to be an ugly clinic to start with.
Yes.
It was meant to be like a beauty clinic. And due to the level of failures, it was almost by happenstance that actually it became successful, because to be ugly was to be noticed, and it's being different, and it's just basically about being a leader rather than a follower in terms of setting trends.
Yeah.
So this whole thing is, you know, get ugly, you'll get noticed. Everyone's so busy getting beautiful. Make yourself ugly, you'll really get noticed then.
Absolutely.
Without a hint of irony. Well, actually, I say that tongue-in-cheek. There's so much irony loaded into that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, another fabby story, and Dreddy's involved again, and there's a gang of people blowing up Sump's Ugly Clinics. And it leads to the marvellous sequence in a hospital where a robo-doc goes wild, which is terrific.
Mm.
You know, it's completely yes. gruesome, particularly when it falls upon one of the mobsters, and it's just like, this has got to come out, that comes out, out it comes, and that, and that.
Yeah,
and
there's just, because it's a robot doing this, it kind of reflects on what you were mentioning earlier about, what we're going to do if we've got robots reflecting on us. Robots don't necessarily know when enough is enough.
Exactly.
It's pulling out all the organs.
That's coming out, yes.
Yeah. It's also worth mentioning at this point where Sump has obviously got quite powerful and successful with these ugly clinics, to the point where he's got Sump Tower.
Sump Tower, yes.
Mm. Is that by any chance a reference to Trump Tower?
Well, they're both, should we say, ugly celebrities who've cashed in on their reputation in different ways. Yes, Sump Tower, in, right in the heart of Mega City One. Who'd have thought it? Okay, let's go on to the middle story in this book of five, which is...
Who Killed Pug Ugly?
Yeah, tell us about that. Oh,
this is actually my favourite story of the entire book, actually.
Right.
There's a band called Pug Ugly and the Buglies, and they are performing in, what's the name of it? The Vibe Hall. And basically, I think it's representing punk in many ways, because the whole idea is it's okay to be ugly. In fact, it's cool to be ugly. It's revered to be ugly. And they're singing really, you know, the lyrics are all about, Hey Pig. He's singing about his girlfriend who he calls a pig. And it's just absolutely celebrating ugliness, and I quite like that.
Yes.
But the thing that's even funnier as well is the fact that the fans are absolutely going crazy over it. So you've got the whole teenage girl fans going crazy over really ugly band members. So that's quite amusing. So what happens is the band's performing, and then Pug Ugly gets assassinated.
Yes, he does, yes. The lead singer is shot on stage, and they track down and shoot the killer. But of course, Dredd isn't quite satisfied. He thinks something's up, and he investigates further. Meanwhile...
Oh yeah, so meanwhile the band's trying to recruit a replacement vocalist. Before I even say that, before he totally croaks it, Pug Ugly is still trying to sort of let on there's something behind this. They try to protect his vocal cords, so they get his vocal cords on ice. What I do find quite funny in a sort of... it's not very nice, but it's funny to read way, is the fact that the band shows absolutely no signs of sadness or shock or remorse about the fact that Pug Ugly's been shot. And they just basically took it, Pug doesn't need his vocal cords. There's no slug bands in hell. Ha ha, nice one, Rich.
Yeah.
I think even Dredd comments said, God, these Puglies are all heart, aren't they?
They are.
But, yeah, so they're going out their way to try and recruit a replacement of Pug, and they're going to you do a transplant on his vocal cords. So there's this fantastic audition advert that's going on where they search for Pug.
Yes.
And in order to win this competition, have you got any of the following? Spots, nose hairs, chaplets, runny nose, bloodshot eyes, tooth decay, cauliflower ears, dandruff. You could be the new Pug Ugly. Have Pug's very own vocal cords transplanted into you. You can look just like Pug. Treatment provided by Otto Lussumpf. Oh yeah, Otto Lussumpf, he's upgraded now.
Yes, he is, because he's gone posh, hasn't he?
Yeah, and then sing with the outrageous Buglies. So yeah, it's great.
And in a couple of pages, they've had the search for Pug. They've got a new guy.
Who is drawn to be one of the most beautiful, so typical, almost like new romantic style of like big, wavy, pouffant hair.
Yeah.
He looks typically beautiful, but he's going to become the ugliest person going.
He becomes the new Pug Ugly. Gets the vocal cords and the Otto Lussumpf treatment. And then in no time at all, he's performing with the band. And their manager, who looks for some reason like the Red Skull from Marvel Comics, is just another incidental character. And then we get this great bit, which is like from an old horror film. I think it was first done with a pianist's hands in something like The Hands of Olaf or something like that, where, you know, this idea that somebody gets a transplant and then the transplanted part has a life of its own or a life of its original owner. Because the vocal cords...
Oh, yeah, they described it as having a certain phenomenon. What's it called?
Cellulopsychic regenesis.
Or CPR for short.
CPR, cellulopsychic regenesis, where the vocal cords contact Judge Dredd to learn something interesting about the Pug Ugly killing.
Yeah.
And, of course, it leads to solving the crime.
But on top of that... you've got the new Pug Ugly singing on stage, and they've got they're trying to sing Hey Pig to start with.
Yep.
And then the vocal cords take over, and then he starts singing Who Killed Pug Ugly?
Yes.
And I don't know if anyone else is familiar with a nursery rhyme it reminded me of, which is Who Killed Cock Robin?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it's the whole rhythm and the style of the lyrics, like Who Killed Cock Robin? I said the sparrow with my bow and arrow, I killed him dead.
Yeah.
And then this lyric's a bit like that in this, but it basically the vocal cords are giving away that. Actually, it was the band that's trying to assassinate the new Pug Ugly. In fact, they do assassinate the new Pug Ugly as well.
They did, yes, and they kill that's right, they kill the new one as well. And then, of course, Dredd arrives, and you're under arrest, creeps. Great stuff. And you thought that the band was a bit of a knowing reference to the Beatles as well.
Oh yes, of course, I forgot to mention that. So yeah, so the band, they're all band members. You've got Pug Ugly, who's the head of the band. He's obviously the John Lennon. Pretty Boy, who I think is a reference to Paul McCartney, because he's the bass player in this, and he actually clocks Pug Ugly over the head with his guitar and kills him. And then you've got Pretty Boy. Sorry, that is Pretty Boy, sorry. And then you've got Wretch and Ringo. So, of course, Ringo being Ringo Starr. I'm guessing Wretch would be George Harrison.
Excellent stuff. So, that's the middle story. We'll come back to it in a minute.
Sure, yeah. I was just going to mention the song Hey Pig. There was actually a release of a version of a song called Hey Pig, which was Free Comic Book Day back in 2014. It was a free downloadable song.
Oh, was it? Oh, I missed that.
I might see if I can find a link to that and send it to the...
Send me the link if you've got it, because I will absolutely link to that in the show notes.
It's not easy listening. It's not even good style punk. It's just...
Right.
It's kind of like industrial grindcore style music. It's... Yeah.
I mean, I've been listening to Space Spinner 2000 recently, where Conrad and Fox have been covering the Alan Grant and John Wagner Robohunter stories, where it's all in song, and of course they do love to put a song lyric in there. You know, as you say, the lyrics of Hey Pig is just great.
Yeah.
And then of course when they actually start to reveal who killed Pug Ugly in the song, fantastic. Okay, so we'll come back to that story because I know it's your favourite.
Yeah.
We'll just quickly mention that they've got the stories Gunge, and then I think it's Smart Sweets at the end.
Yeah. And I quite like this way that, so riding on the success of the Ugly Clinics, Sampa's just said, okay, what other silly, nasty products can I get out there to, for the mass public to enjoy? So we've got, starts off with Gunge, where basically starts making products that they sound absolutely disgusting and vile. And the nastier they sound, the better they sell. But they've got, you know, and they've got ingredients like body hair and nail clippings and insects and body parts of, you know, nasty creatures. And Judge takes, I wouldn't say he takes umbrage, but he takes offence to this. And he just says, this is not right, I want to close it down. And he tries to find a way of doing that. But of course, because Dredd is a stickler for the law, he finds that, oh, actually, they're not legally breaking it. And in fact, despite the nasty contents, they're quite nutritious.
Yes.
And I just love the fact that it's like, oh, I can't shut them down. And then this is when you see the darker sides of the judge's behaviour in Grunge, where they decide, okay, we will find a means of actually stopping you producing them, and we will start rebranding these as almost like brandless products that the government are issuing. Because they actually do help deal with the lack of the food shortage because of the overcrowding.
Yeah.
So you've got food stuff, A, B, and C. You don't know what's necessarily in there. But it's government approved now. It's gone from being banned by because it was Otto Sump's product, and now it's government approved. But just don't ask what goes in there.
Yes, absolutely. And there's an appearance by Chief Judge Magruder as well, which is cool. Back in her young days. Still got the skull earrings, I think, hasn't she?
How did I miss that?
The SJS earrings,
I think. I love skulls and I missed that.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, okay, so one more story quickly. Smart Sweets at the end.
Oh, this one's... I love this one as well, particularly because Sump's not even trying to hide this. It's there's the opening advert that you see, and it's like, hey, dummies, want to get smart? Want to increase your brain power? Try Otto Sump's new Smart Sweets. Okay, so basically he's enticing you, but then he's like, Dimbo Plank. Didn't this happen to me? But basically, they're talking about how there is no scientific claim, there is no pseudoscience or here. We're saying that there's any proof behind these, but people just assume you'll buy anything if this advert says it's good for you. So people start taking these sweets, expecting to have super intelligent capabilities as a result of this, and doing the most stupid things and blaming it on the sweets. And in fact, the story comes to a head where there's a gang of young kids who they think they're going to be... They drop a load of these super sweets and then try to go break into... Oh, where is it they're breaking into? Basically, they are going to do a raid on a building. So
yes.
They can try and get some money. Oh, that's right. They're trying to get to the bank.
Yep.
Thinking that they're going to... Oh, but we're so... You know, we're so clever because we've taken these sweets. One of them actually gets run over on the way into the raid as well.
And of course, all while this is happening downstairs, Judge Dredd is visiting Otto Sump upstairs, and he's perfectly placed as ever to foil the heist, which he does in usual explosive fashion, blowing his way through the floor.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, it is. And this is, you know, this is Ron Smith Dredd. He's very athletic. He drops through with both feet.
Yeah, basically blasts a hole in the floor beneath him, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's great stuff. Great stuff.
Would make great cinematic effects, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think they've seen a scene like that in Underworld, where blasting holes into the floor to just rip the floor out.
Very cool. I mean, he's the very athletic gymnastic Judge Dredd that Ron Smith draws. With the two lawgivers, of course, from the double holsters.
Yes.
It's great stuff. Now, let's talk about Ron Smith for a moment, for his artwork.
Yeah.
Because he's done all these five stories. There's a couple of adverts in the book, which I think...
Oh, the adverts are super. They're in the theme of...
Yes. Yeah, like Otto Sump adverts in there, which are quite cool. But Ron Smith is just... If you want somebody to draw the craziness of Mega City 1...
I think he encapsulates it so well.
He does, doesn't he? He is the chap. If you want somebody who's doing the weird citizens and what they get up to, you couldn't ask for anybody better.
No,
again,
I do like the way it's almost... In some cases, I'm just looking at the opening advert for... the opening page for Gunge, where it's an advert.
Yeah.
And it's not a caricature, but sometimes his illustrations do verge into caricature territory.
Yeah.
And I love that because it's just hyper real and, yeah, it's just such fun.
It is. So it's amazing artwork. I'm going to quote Conrad again from Space Spinner 2000, who calls it Ron Smith and his beautiful ugliness. And in the Pug Uglies, you know, who killed Pug Ugly? It's just...
Oh, there's no holds barred.
There's no holds barred. These ugly musicians with their warts and all, literally.
The teeth missing.
Oh, it's great. It's gorgeous artwork. Yeah. Now, of course, for this little digest version, which we've picked because we wanted to sort of stick to the rules of a collected edition. And I know they've done some slight trimming of panels to make it fit into this digest, and they've moved things around, and sometimes they've had to repeat panels and so on. But if you look at the original art pages as they appear in the I've got it, you know, we've got the case files here on my iPad. Mm-hmm. Or if you go back to the original progs, it's just beautiful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What about Otto Sump himself as a character for 2000 AD? Because he keeps coming back, certainly in these early progs, doesn't he?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about him as an individual, because I think to start with, I thought he was just a nice guy that fell on bad times.
Yeah.
And I think he's just got caught up in the situation, and fame has... I think this is the one thing that this book does highlight, actually, is fame gets to people.
Yes.
So the higher you creep up that ladder, the more that greed gets to you, the more that corruption gets to you, and... He just gets ridiculous in some ways. And yet, he holds Judge Dredd in such high regard. He worships him. He considers Dredd to be one of the founders of his empire.
Yeah, absolutely. He always regards Dredd made him, and Dredd's his friend coming to visit him regularly, but usually coming to shut him down in some ways.
He just doesn't seem to get this, does
he? No.
It's quite endearing in that sense.
It's lovely. I mean, here he is in these five stories. I know... Sheridan was doing some research about where Otto Sump appears again beyond this.
Ah, so I do know that I'm not sure which prog it occurs in, but in the year 2124, there's a bit of a whodunit. He gets murdered.
So this was a magazine story, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah.
Citizen Sump, in fact.
Citizen Sump. There it is. Yes.
That's a definite reference to Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't actually read that one, I have to confess. Because I wanted to focus purely on these five stories in this collection. But I look forward to reading that later.
Okay, cool. So this little digest, originally priced £2.95. You can still pick it up on eBay, which is where we got these copies to look at today. Or you can find the stories we've been talking about in the complete case files. I think it's in volumes 3, 4, 6, and I believe 8. We'll cover all of these stories, and you'll see the pages laid out as they perhaps originally were intended for the prog. So, favourite story you've mentioned already?
Yeah, so I'm definitely drawn to Who Killed Pug Ugly, partly because I love my music, do love the punk scene, and I just love the silliness of the story.
I love it as well. I mean, I would agree with you. I think it's my favourite story in the book. And particularly for this weird cellular psychic regenesis and this classic horror movie thing where a transplanted part retains some, you know, psychic abilities from its original owner, as it were.
Yeah, and the thing I really, really liked is the fact that when they replaced Pug Ugly with the new person, it was somebody who's so conventionally handsome and he goes through all this rigmarole to be one of the ugliest people again, and then gets assassinated just like the original Pug Ugly.
It looks like they've hired 80s George Michael or David Hasselhoff, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah.
And then turned him into Pug Ugly. Yeah. But okay, great stuff. It's been great fun. As I say, you can track down these stories if you've not read Otto Sump. And actually, while I'm thinking about it, I know that the Hachette Judge Dredd Mega Collection, in its extension volumes, is doing a volume that's coming out probably by the time this podcast is out of I think it's called Weird City, I might be wrong on that, but it includes the Otto Sump stories. So there's a hardback version coming out and it's got Otto Sump on the front cover. I know that's been advertised, and as I say, probably out by the time this podcast comes out. Cool. Okay, so we turn from favourite story to the Grail Pages game. What's your Grail page from Otto Sump?
Sure. Now, in light of the fact that I'm looking at this from a digest, a very compressed page, it's a little bit hard to choose what I'd want as a Grail page as a poster as such. However, I think my ultimate favourite picture in this, I'm just going to go back to the panel, is... Oh, here we go. So, it's where Dredd is challenging Otto Sump, and Otto Sump has actually got a shrine to Dredd where he's listed as Judge Dredd, our founder. And Judge Dredd just is absolutely exasperated because he's trying to stop all this silly behaviour and shut it down. Meanwhile, Otto Sump is basically setting him up to say, but you're one of the people that founded it. So it's this panel here would be...
Right, so we're looking at a story from Otto Sump's Ugly, or Get Ugly, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just literally the panel where there's a shrine to Dredd going on, and Dredd's just looking exasperated and fed up. It's like, what? Basically, he just can't believe that he's... It's almost as if Dredd's being held accountable for Sump's behaviour.
Yes, our founder, Judge Dredd. Yeah, it's great. And there's a wonderful image, of course, of Otto Sump. There's a great robot. There's a great full figure of Dredd. So it's a lovely page, and it will be up on the Facebook group in the Grail pages. And in the version that we're looking at in the case files, it's also got the credit card box as well, which you'd want, wouldn't you?
Oh,
T.B. Grover, Ron Smith, and Tom Frey. So great stuff. We'll put that up on the Grail Pages game.
But I just think that particular panel completely captures the relationship between Dredd and Otto Sump as well. Because you know how the book's saying it's Dredd versus Sump, and Dredd's trying to stop them, but I do think he's got a bit of a soft spot for him. He's quite leaning towards him ultimately, and he's trying to stop him for his own good. And there's a lot of hero worship going on from Sump's part.
There is, certainly. Excellent. So we'll give you that one. I'm going to cheat and choose the cover of Prog 186, which is the Get Ugly cover with Pug Ugly and the or Pug and the Uglies on the front cover, as well as Otto Sump. And, you know, not got a terribly good image of it here on the iPad, but it is just... gorgeous, beautiful ugliness from Ron Smith.
Yeah.
So that'll be mine, and we'll put that one up.
Great.
Rachel, excellent. Thank you so much for meeting up in a pub and doing Otto Sump.
It's been great fun, thank you.
I'm going to let you go on to the rest of Free Comic Book Day, but of course, I can't let you go without asking about guest projects. And last time you delighted us with Judge Thread and Judge Stranderson.
Yes, both of whom made it to the 40th anniversary.
Oh, excellent. All right.
Yeah,
good.
I've actually got photos. Michael Carroll actually picked them up and was like, oh, I have to show my wife these. So we've actually got photos of him running off with I made them for Sheridan. Continuing on with the theme. So I have some prototypes on the go. I'm trying to put together a bit of a cosplay knitted stroke crochet themed Judge Dredd outfit. So I have brought with me today, I've made the infamous eagle shoulder pad.
Oh, right. So here we have a knitted golden eagle shoulder pad.
But it's actually the eagle itself I had to crochet just to get the feather texture.
Right, yes.
And I'm going to basically make these super high shoulder pads. There's going to be like five layers of shoulder pads, so they sit right up top.
And it looks great, fantastic.
And I've also had a go at making the green, I don't know if you want to call them gloves or gauntlets.
Yes, the Dredd gauntlet.
So, now bearing in mind that I've deliberately made them so they're supposed to be man-sized, I've got quite small hands, but this looks ridiculously huge on me.
Yeah.
But, yes, I've made some gloves where you've got the utility pocket, got the knuckle dusters and the
ridges. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, forget the Infinity Gauntlet. Here we have the knitted Dredd Gauntlet, and it's fabulous. So these are your talents as a knitter and crocheter and crafter. Yes.
And they will all be coming together at some point, soon. Well, maybe some point this year. The ultimate aim is to at least have a knitted, complete uniform for Judge. Well, maybe not the trousers. But
right.
I certainly want to do the top half. I've even made some knitted gold chains, as in there are seven links in the chains.
Of course, yes.
And I'm making the badge.
Yes, of course, because there is Judge Burdis is around here today in Free Comic Book Day, and of course he'd be very upset if there were more or less than seven links, wouldn't it? Yes, absolutely. Okay, fantastic, Rachel. Well, I look forward to putting pictures of some of these wonderful knitted cosplay items up on the Facebook group and seeing the final version when it's all complete.
Let's hope.
Great. Anything else you want to mention about Otto Sump or about Free Comic Book Day before we get back to the delights?
I haven't anything particular to mention, so, but I'm looking forward to seeing what's available for Free Comic Book Day because I've not yet been.
Yes, I better let you get to it before it's all gone. Thank you again to Rachel. Thank you to Otto Sump. Thank you to everybody for listening to Mega City Book Club. Find out more about the show and all the episodes at megacitybookclub.com. Or find us in all the usual places, Facebook, Twitter, or email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. And that'll do us. It's time to drink up and go and enjoy Free Comic Book Day. So from the Crown and Anchor here in the heart of London, it's time for goodbyes. Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.